That was wonderful. That was beautiful. The deep, deep love of Jesus Christ. Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 10, please. We've been discussing meals with Jesus. This is our fourth meal with Jesus, Mary and Martha's house. This is God's holy, inspired, inerrant, and authoritative word. Beginning in verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you're unlike any person that we've ever known or met, unlike anyone that's ever lived on this earth. Because you're God. And you love us with an everlasting love, and you're patient with us. And so we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would fill this place and fill our hearts and fill our minds, and let us sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to him this morning. Oh, let me decrease that Christ may increase. Bless us by the glory of your presence. In your name, amen. We are worn out. We are worn out people. We are the busiest people that have ever lived on the face of the earth. As I was studying this week, one writer said that we are busier this year than we were last year, and we'll be busier next year than we were this year. He went on to say that we're literally seeing the acceleration of everything. And we're worn out. And many of you are puzzled, as I am often puzzled, because we're worn out, but we've been doing good things. We're busy doing good things. And many of them in the name of God. So why would I be worn out? And why would I feel so empty if I'm busy doing things that I'm supposed to do? Committee meetings. You serve on boards and very important, you make very important decisions. You go to work and you work long hours to support your family. This is what God wants you to do. And you go to school and you go to lessons and you're trying to better your life and the lives of those around you. You go to Bible study and prayer meetings and you do all of these things and you're worn out and you're empty, many of you. How can we be so worn out doing good things for Christ? Well, Jesus tells us it's very possible. It's very possible and very easy for us to spend our time and energy on many good things and neglect Him. And neglect the best thing. That we have this tendency, we're so prone to do it, that we can spend so much time for Jesus and feel so far away from Jesus. That's what Jesus is talking about in this passage. Mary and her preparations. Mary and her welcoming Jesus into her home. He is warmly and kindly showing her, you have neglected the best thing. Literally, the best portion for all of the many things that you're worried about. When I first moved to Memphis, and actually before I moved to Memphis, everyone would ask me, have you tried the barbecue? You know, every place, you know, I lived in Texas for a while, they ask you the same question, have you tried the barbecue? And there's a real war there. Have you tried the barbecue in Memphis? Oh, and it's cool to say this. Well, you know, if you haven't tried the barbecue, you really haven't tried Memphis. You know, everyone has their favorite place, and now I say it to be cool. Now, have you tried the barbecue? And they're like, no. I was like, okay. But if you haven't tried the barbecue, you haven't tried Memphis, because, right, as far as food is concerned, most people would say that the best that Memphis has to offer is barbecue. It's what we're known for. And there are a lot of good places to eat. But you haven't experienced Memphis unless you've experienced the best thing Memphis has to offer, which is barbecue. It is very easy for us as believers, as people that are very involved in church, to be involved in many good things and miss Jesus. Miss devotion to Jesus. Literally, Luke is telling us, miss listening to Jesus. He's giving us a picture of what is best about a meal with Him. What's best about a meal with Jesus? It's Jesus. And He's calling us, I believe, starting with me, to look closely at our plans and our programs and all of our good things. And He's inviting us to slow down and to reprioritize our lives for the best thing. Two things we're going to look at this morning. In verses 38 through 40, the problem with good things, the problem with many things, the problem with many of these good things that Martha's involved in. And then secondly, the priority of the best thing in verses 41 through 42. First, the problem with good things. If you have your Bibles open, verse 38, as Jesus and His disciples were on their way, He came to a village, which we know in other sources, other places in the Gospels, this is Bethany. He came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to Him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet. Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. A couple of things I need to say about Martha. She's not a bad person. You know, history has vilified Martha as this terrible busybody that doesn't love Jesus. But I would submit to you, she's showing Jesus her love language. If you read Campbell's book, The Five Love Languages, she's showing Jesus works of service. She's a go-getter. She is a type A. Martha is the one that wants to make sure all the preparations are perfect for Jesus. These are not bad things that she's doing. She's literally welcoming, the word here, welcoming, showing hospitality to Jesus. And her preparations means that she's spending a lot of time on dishes, things that she's making for Jesus and for this meal for Jesus. How dare she welcome Jesus? This is good. It's a good thing. It's her duty as head of household, she likely is. The oldest sibling, the homemaker here. And you can tell by the way she confronts Jesus in verse 41, by how bold she is, that she's convinced her ministry, what she's doing, this service, these preparations, are the most important things in the universe. Which brings us to the problem with good things. Luke tells us that Martha is distracted. Literally, this word means pulled away. divided, drawn away. When service for Jesus replaces devotion and listening to Jesus, when that occurs, we become distracted by the things we're doing and neglect the guest of honor. We become much more concerned about what we're doing and become distracted about who we're doing it for. She has blinders on. Our busy, distractive urgency blinds us to the big picture. And that's what's happening to Martha. Where she's wanting to get, she wants to have a nice meal for Jesus. That's the plan. This is the most important thing that needs to happen. All these preparations are happening. This is what needs to go. We need to have a good meal for Jesus. And so, she gets lost along the way. It's like one of my friends telling me about her family trips growing up. Her family trips, she said, are more about how many sites you can pack into 1 week. How many can we check off in the Pacific Northwest, or in the Southwest, or in the East? And she told about the Grand Canyon. And she said her trip to the Grand Canyon was about 30 seconds long. Here's this great, majestic, awe-inspiring creation, right? Everyone out of the car. Wow, look at the Grand Canyon. Isn't that wonderful? Wow, that's striking. Isn't that beautiful? Okay, snap a picture. Everybody back in the car. We have to go somewhere else. And that's kind of what's happening to Martha. She's become distracted from what's most important. And one of the reasons that we're so worn out by all the good things that we're doing, it's because Christianity is like another thing on our calendar. Right? We have our health, our work, our spiritual life. They're all things. How can I stick all of this stuff on this busy calendar? And we're pouring ourselves out week in and week out that we get distracted from the Grand Canyon. It's so easy to do, isn't it? That Jesus is actually the source of refreshment and rest for all of our work. But we barely have time to snap a photo before it's back in the van. We got other good things to do. We don't have time to look at this. And distraction leads to discouragement. As Phil Ryken in his commentary on this verse says, it leads from discouragement really to self-pity. When we have blinders on and we're convinced that this is the most important thing to do, it often leads us to discouragement and self-pity. Listen to what she says in verse 40 to Jesus. Don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? You can almost imagine if it was a modern day, you could imagine the pots and the pans clinking. She'd really drop something real hard and sort of stick her head out like. Huffing and puffing. Well, I sure would like some help in here. Sure is a lot of work for just one person, Mary. She moves into self-pity and discouragement. Here I am spending all my time doing this service. She's brewing. Literally, Jesus says, I can see that you're storming. You're fuming. And that's building in the kitchen. Here I am spending all my time doing this service and no one's helping me. This is obviously the most important thing. And who does Mary think she is? She thinks she's a man sitting at the feet of Jesus? Because women's quarters were in the kitchen in that day. And women did not sit at the feet of Rabbi. She feels justified in her anger. Who does she think she is? And her distraction leads her to a sense of superiority. What I'm doing is more important than what she's doing, but I'm alone in doing it, and no one cares. This is what kills churches. This will kill IPC. Missions is more important than worship. Worship is more important than missions. Can't anyone see that I'm spending all my time doing mercy ministry? And this is obviously what Jesus is most concerned about. Discipleship is much more important than evangelism. And evangelism, wait, it's more important than discipleship. Jesus says, go. Yes, but Jesus says, make disciples. I saw it in seminary. People said things like biblical theology is the most important theology because it's the Bible. Systematic theology is really where we need to be. It's clear and concise. It's much more important than biblical theology. No, missions is more important. And we begin to build these turf wars. We begin to have these pet projects. It's because we've become distracted. Service for Jesus only makes sense in relation to the person of Jesus. When we neglect the person of Jesus, we silo off and we raise our ministry over the others, and that's not the way it's supposed to be. Devotion to Christ and to His Word takes priority. We can only understand all of our ministries, which are very good and very important, in relation to Jesus. My favorite leaders in the church are not the ones that are known for some certain group. Yes, in your denomination, we have groups. Surprise, surprise. It's like the high school lunchroom. This man's known for this group and this movement, and this man's known for this group and this movement. My favorite leaders are the ones that are known for Jesus. The ones that are known for their devotion to Jesus. That man reminds me of Christ. And we should be a church that is known for Jesus. Not one ministry over and against the others. It's known for a devotion to the person of Christ and to His Word. Because we get distracted and discouraged, and Satan loves it. Because if we can be at war with each other, He doesn't need to help us that much. See, what's missing so often when we become distracted and discouraged is Christ Himself. Because service and ministry for Christ can replace devotion to Christ. And the outside world looks at us and they shake their heads. What is wrong with those discouraged, distracted, angry people? You know, because that's where it obviously goes. And I'm speaking from personal experience. I've had my share of pet projects that obviously, in the end, becomes anger at other people. Martha, in verse 41, in verse 40, she gets in Jesus' face. And I'll put it in our modern day translation. Listen to this. She comes close to Jesus Christ. Literally, she came in. That means she didn't just walk in casually. The word, the language here, she busts in. And she gets in the face of the Son of God, and she begins to, it's almost like wagging her finger. And here's the modern day translation. Jesus, are you out of your mind? Do you not see what you're doing? Tell her to help me. When we become worn out by good things and we replace the best, it will always lead at anger. Because what's really underneath this is not just Jesus rebuking her for her plans and her preparations. It's a heart of idolatry because she has made an idol out of the evening. A good thing. Can you blame someone for wanting to have a supper for Jesus? She has made an idol out of these preparations. She's become distracted
and full of self-pity, and now she's angry because someone is destroying her idol. Because at the end of the day, it's really not about our service when we become distracted like that. At the end of the day, it really becomes about our control. And may I say it as a pastor? Our egos. About our agendas. And that's why we get so angry. Distraction, discouragement, and anger. And don't you know how gracious it is for Jesus to give us stories like this to uncover who we really are? The problem with the good things. Now let's go to the priority of the best thing. Verses 41 through 42. Verse 41, "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her." A couple of things I want to say about this passage is that Jesus is kindly rebuking Martha. Let me give you a little profile on the person of Jesus of Nazareth. He's the head and chief of angelic armies. He is the great one. When people see Jesus in his resurrected state, they fall on their face and want to be dead, yes. And here in her living room, she gets in the face of Jesus and rebukes Jesus. Now look how kind he is. When you said someone's name twice in those days, it was as if Jesus were saying, "Martha, dear Martha." Because he could have taken her out. "Martha, I love you, Martha. You are worried and you are upset about many things. Your sister Mary has chosen the best thing. And it will not be taken from her." Jesus is also countercultural. As I said, for a woman to sit at the feet of a rabbi was unheard of. They could be taught the Talmud. They could be taught of the Torah. But they were never to sit at the feet of a rabbi. Only a male could do that. And Jesus is showing us here how countercultural he was, how he valued and loved women. As being made in the image of God. Not a second-class citizen. How wonderful Jesus is. And the wonder of how he goes to her hurt. Jesus is the great counselor. And instead of rebuking her back in a mean way, the way she comes to him, he says, I see that you're worried. And visibly and audibly upset. That's what that means. You could see her anger and hear it. I see that you're worried and upset. What a counselor. What is the best thing? What does that mean? Look at verse 39. Luke tells us, the better thing is sitting at the feet listening to Jesus. And that means a number of things. First thing it means is devotion to Christ. She's seated at his feet, devoted to him, looking at him. The way someone would be at some great speaker or pastor or grandfather or grandmother that you love, you're devoted to this person. She's submissive also to Jesus. She knows who Jesus is. She respects his authority. Jesus talked about how the teacher was greater than the disciple. Well, here is the disciple letting the teacher be greater. She's devoted, she's submissive, but most importantly, she's listening to him speak. Now, what does that mean? She's listening to his words. Now, we're not told what exactly he told Mary. But we do know what Jesus talked about his whole life. Go read the four Gospels. He talked about eternity. He would talk about the kingdom. The kingdom that was coming. He talked about the hope of forgiveness of sins. He talked about mercy. He would tell stories about a father who loved his lost son. He would talk about the kingdom growing like a little mustard seed to the greatest tree in all the garden. He once told a Samaritan woman who had lived such a painful, miserable, sinful life why she was so miserable. He said, "You're thirsty and you're not finding the water that you need. I am that water." Jesus speaks the words of life. Listening to Jesus makes you feel alive. To listen to Jesus is to listen to the Word, because Jesus is the Word. You know, He's still speaking to you. When you come here on Sunday mornings and you sing His Word and you pray His Word and you hear His Word preach, Jesus is speaking to you through His Spirit. He's telling you that the future is full of hope, that the future is full of restoration. What does that mean for us, though? How do we find this best thing? How do we participate in that? Jesus is saying to us, IPC, dear IPC, you are worried and upset about many things. Stop it and look at the best thing, and it will not be taken from you. This means that we need to begin to look at all the good things and start asking really hard questions. By God's grace, am I neglecting Jesus while trying to serve Jesus? Now, don't get me wrong, service is of the utmost importance, but it's upside down. If you think that serving Jesus is going to bring you always closer to Jesus, it starts first with your devotion to Him. Not the other way around. And the way we can tell if we're neglecting the best thing is if we see where we're distracted. We see where we're discouraged. Where we feel superior over other Christians. And where we have lashed out in anger. That, my friends, is where our idols are. Because we have replaced Jesus Himself with all the things we're doing for Jesus. We isolate Him. And let me tell you, Jesus doesn't need me to do His ministry. He can make a donkey preach. It pleases Him to use people like me and people like you. Tommy Nelson, pastor in Denton, Texas, had a quote that has been very helpful to me over the years. He said to ministers, and it's to you too, don't work on a ministry. Don't work at a ministry. Work on your relationship with Jesus and minister from overflow of that relationship. Now that kind of sounds like preacher talk, I know. I speak preacher-ese, okay? What does that mean? It means being quiet and still before Jesus Christ. There was a person that I tremendously respect and admire, and I love the way he prays, and I want to pray like him. Because he prays like Jesus is right there. And I said, "How can I pray like Jesus is right there?" He said, "It's easy. He is there." Do you realize that when you pray, Jesus is not far off, that you have to email Him and wait for Him to get back to you, hopefully, or may return your call, that He's somewhere eons and eons away? No, Jesus Christ is near to you when you pray to Him. He's so near to you that you can speak to Him as though He's there. This may seem like inactivity to our world. Why is IPC, why do people at IPC pray so much? I went to a prayer meeting and they just read some scripture and prayed. They waste their time. Here's the kind of person, the kind of Christian I want to be. Someone who actively is quiet and waits. Resting. Actively resting on Jesus Christ. Before I'm busy. We must simplify our lives, folks. There's so much clutter that the world has told us that we need to be doing. We have spiritual spam in our lives. You know, when you haven't checked your email, you have all of this garbage. I think we have so much garbage, and a lot of it's good garbage. The Holy Spirit must guide us and lead us that we can start making good choices out of devotion to Christ. Well, Jesus, and I'll close with this, Jesus finally says that the best thing, this better thing, will not be taken from her. What does that mean? It means that one day all the committee meetings, all the sermons, all the Bible studies, and the functions, and the carpool, and the work, and the deadlines, one day, they're going to be over. But sitting at the feet of Jesus, devoted to Him, will last forever. What are you living for? What are we living for? Things that go away? Because I'll tell you what's happening in heaven right now. Revelation 5, John gives us a peek behind the curtain. And the one that is seated in Martha's living room is seated on the throne. And countless numbers of angels and spiritual beings and the elders are surrounding this Jesus, and they're saying, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive glory and power and wisdom and honor and strength." If we have become distracted, you have the Lamb that was slain who is telling us, "Come be forgiven. I love you. Come let me tell you what life is about. Stop letting the world tell you what life's about." That we would not miss the best thing for all the good things, like living in Memphis and never eating barbecue. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise You. We adore You. We long to love You more. And Holy Spirit, You can make us love Him more. Fill us. Pull our hearts away from the things of this world that we might love Christ with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our affection. Because we have God-forsaken hearts. Thank You for allowing us to hear Your word. Help us be quiet before You. In Your name, amen.